Hello, and welcome to God in Our City, a weekly Christ-centered program highlighting what the great God of the universe is doing here in our city. Your host is Pastor Dave Watson. Pastor Dave has been the pastor of Calvary Chapel for over 26 years. He's also the founder and president of the New York Institute for Biblical Studies. But before we go live to our worship service, here's a special word from Pastor Dave.
Hello, this is Dave Watson, pastor of Calvary Chapel, and your host right here on God in Our City. This fall here at Calvary Chapel and on God in Our City, we're delving into a new series called Living iSmart in an E-Stupid World. Together, we'll be studying the Bible book of Proverbs for 12 weeks. Our hope and prayer is that we all will be wiser for it. We're giving everyone here at Calvary a 12-verse memory packet so that we can, through meditating and memorizing, hide these important truths in our heart. If you'd like the same memory packet free of charge to join us in this endeavor, please call us at 718-720-5390. That's 718-720-5390 to request the memory packet. When you call, please consider giving a gift to God in Our City so that we can continue to present the Word of God clearly to you and those living in our metropolitan area. Again, the verse pack is free and yours just by calling us at 718-720-5390. 718-720-5390. May our Lord richly bless us as we seek to live iSmart in an e-stupid world.
Talk about the indescribable God today. So you may be seated. Hopefully you greeted someone and they were nice to you. Just a few items to talk about. Next week is Veterans Day. So it's Veterans Day falls on a Sunday. And when that happens, we like to really make sure we honor all of our veterans. So if you know a veteran, bring them to church with you next week. We have a special pin honoring all of them, and we've partnered with a local establishment. Okay, we went to Dunkin' Donuts, and we have a gift card for them. But we would love to have as many veterans here as possible. We're going to honor them for their service, so please do that. If you're listening by radio, show up. We'll give you a card. In your bulletin, you also will find this Thanksgiving offering. We try not to take a lot of extra offerings here. But this time of year, for the next 3 weeks, we take up money. What we do with that is we buy turkeys and we buy canned goods. And we've already partnered with an organization called Spread Truth. They're going to give us 50 turkeys. We have to buy turkeys as well. They're going to give us a bunch of canned goods. We work also with Boxes of Love with Reverend Dave, with his ministry. So we've got food coming to take care of people in the neighborhood for Thanksgiving. We don't really take any government funds to do any of that. We just kind of do it from the goodness of our heart. So we're only able to do that as two things happen. One, you put money in these envelopes. Now, don't take away from your regular giving. Doesn't do good for people to come here and no lights to be on, but they got turkeys. But we'd love to have you help us in this regard, and it goes to right back to our community. If there's any food left, it goes to the food pantry that we have. So it works out in a great way. So please, make sure you participate in that. There's also one other thing in there. Our team for Italy leaves Friday. So you can meet them all at Newark Airport. Are you guys flying out of Newark? What time do you want everyone? No. You may not want to meet them. But in your bulletin is a prayer card that gives not only their names and what they'll be doing and their picture, but on the back there's a daily prayer request for them, regular prayer request, and their daily itinerary. So you can pray them through Italy. They're not going there on vacation. They've given up their vacation time to minister in Udanai, a small town in upper Italy, northern part of Italy. So we encourage you to be thinking about them and participating. Final thing, the New York Institute for Biblical Studies begins this coming Monday and Wednesday. Wednesday we have counseling and a theology class, Christ and Salvation. Monday we have a class on leading Bible discussions and creative Bible methods. But we also have this class called The Disciplines of the Spiritual Life. Now what happens to everybody I know around December, late December, they go, I'm going to make some changes. I'll tell you right now, I'm not going to be the same Christian I was last year, this year. I'm going to be better. Well, this is the book you need for that. But the time to start is not January 6th. The time to start is now, and you get the book, you get the information. That class is at 8:30. We would love to have you to participate in it. We are sure it would be an awesome blessing to you. After the service, you can sign up for these classes and more. Jay, they've heard enough from me. They're asleep already. It's yours, buddy.
More than able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or imagine. Amen. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. Let's sing that again.
You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope.
You restore.
You restore every heart that is broken. Your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only.
Great are you, Lord.
You give life. You are love.
You bring light.
You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken.
Great are you, Lord.
Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out.
Jesus, and all the earth will shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing, great are you, Lord. Let's all stand and sing it to him.
All the earth will shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing, great are you, Lord.
All the earth.
And all the earth will shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing.
All the earth
will shout your praise.
could we scoot in a little bit and pray together today? If you're listening by radio, grab the hand of somebody if somebody's around, and let's just bow our heads and close our eyes and bow our hearts, as it were, in prayer. Gracious and loving Father, we thank you for the fact that we can have a personal relationship with you through your Son, the Lord Jesus. Thank you for his death on the cross and the new life that he gives us when we trust in what he has done, not in our good works, to give us, Lord, both a relationship with you and eternal life. We come before you today, Lord, a very needy people. Lord, we bring before you Tommy Smith, who had surgery this past week and has an upcoming skin graft. We ask, Lord, for your hand to be upon him, for him, Lord, just to work, Lord, the things that need to be worked with reference to this, so, Lord, he can have this wound that he's been struggling with almost 20 years to be totally taken care of, God. We pray also, Lord, for Margie Hosmer, Lord, who's had a tough diagnosis. We pray for your miraculous hand in her life. We thank you for our own Pastor Schooling, Lord. Pastor Schooling, who's going through some tough treatments, but Lord, is standing strong with you. And we pray, Lord, that you continue to empower him and strengthen him and encourage him. As we think of these elections on Tuesday, Lord, we thank you that being a good Christian means being a good citizen. So we ought to vote. Lord, help us, Lord, to vote in line with your values. Lord, help us to be those who vote pro-life for the children, Lord, the children even in the womb, the innocent, who vote pro-Israel, Lord, knowing that Israel is the apple of your eye, who vote pro-family and pro-faith, Lord, and those who, Lord, also vote with a big heart, so that, Lord, our goal, our desire is to help as many people as we can. But understand, Lord, that it is you ultimately, Lord, even though we elect, you select our leaders, and we pray for them. We know that their hearts are in your hands. Lord, as we talk about the things we do today, we pray your Holy Spirit will be our teacher and our guide, that you will speak to me as well as to these, my brothers and sisters, from your word. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. You may be seated. As you're getting seated today, we're in the middle of this series, Living iSmart in an E-Stupid World. And I'm going to do something I don't like to do. But right here from this pulpit, I'm going to use a four-letter word. Are you ready? Go ahead, Jay. The four-letter word is work. We're going to talk today about, yeah, bite your tongue, exactly. Work. This is our topic today. It's a topic that there's a lot of misunderstanding about. In some ways, in the Christian world, we think that work is not something we're supposed to do. That work is a bad part of life. The problem is, if you work 40 hours a week, you know, you're going to spend a good portion of your life, right? Working. Our memory verse this week is Proverbs 10:4. A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes what? Takes care of things. So the question is, how are we going to view work? Last week, we reached the pinnacle of Proverbs in terms of decision, where we needed to make a decision. Are we going to be with Lady Folly or Lady Wisdom? And that really is the most important decision. Nothing I can say going forward matters if you've not chosen Lady Wisdom. You may be saying, I'm waiting for what Lady Wisdom tells me to see if I like it. You've mistaken Lady Wisdom for the buffet restaurant. That's not her restaurant. Lady Wisdom is your grandmother. You eat what's put before you. If you don't want that, then don't come to her table. Because that's how Lady Wisdom views it. So today we're not at a buffet restaurant, we're at Grandma's house, and Lady Wisdom is dealing out her thoughts about work. I work. You say, yes, I do, and I'm not happy about it, yes. But the jobless rate now in our country is at 3.7% of people who want to work. It's the lowest in 49 years. 225,000 jobs were created in October, and it is actually true that there are more jobs than there are people to fill them. In fact, I have a little bit of a relationship with the Staten Island Economic Development Corp, and they have a bunch of companies that are partnering with them and are actually looking for people to employ, and they can't find them. Not a few jobs, they have a lot of jobs. And not jobs that, nothing against Burger King or McDonald's or Dunkin', but jobs that pay a lot more than that, that don't involve a commute. You just go to their website, StatenIslandEconomicDevelopmentCorp.org or .com, and check them out. You'll see that there are jobs there. But in the world that we live in, we struggle with the whole concept of work. In the book of Proverbs, and Proverbs has a, you will see, when I'm done today, you will say, stop. There's too much about work. I came to church to be encouraged, and you're talking about work. But there is tons of stuff in Proverbs about work. In fact, Proverbs uses a number of different words that might be helpful for us to understand with reference to work. The Hebrew word for work in general is malacha, which means that which is done with some focus on the energy expended. Also, someone has a work, meaning they have a craftsmanship. But mainly the thought is of expending energy. And the Hebrew word abad, you say, I knew that work was bad, I didn't know it was abad. Abad means to labor, to do, to expend considerable energy. That's another word for work. It also, in the book of Proverbs, uses the word toil. The Hebrew word there is etzeb, which means hard work, toil, the act of giving hard labor. And then there's the word labor. The Hebrew word there is mace, forced labor, or becoming a forced laborer. The Hebrew word asah means to make or manufacture. It's also used for labor. And then there's the word diligent. The word diligent, haras, means pertaining that someone is being a not just a worker, but a persistently industrious worker, someone who is really putting out, someone who is diligent. All those words form our theology of work from the book of Proverbs. But to understand this completely, we need to go back a little bit further than Proverbs. Our work, watch this, is a God-designed matter. Now, when I say God invented sex, everybody says yay. When I say God invented work, everybody says nay. But God invented work. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 22, watch this. The Lord possessed me, that's wisdom, at the beginning of his what? Work. It refers to God's work. You mean God worked or works? Well, God is at work even as we speak. He expends energy. The difference between God and us is when God expends energy, he doesn't have to rest to get refueled. When I expend energy, I have to rest to get refueled. A couple weeks ago, I preached 3 times on a Sunday morning, and I chaired a meeting afterwards, and I felt good Thursday, because I had expended so much energy. God provides for us an example for work in creation. Genesis 2:1-2 says, thus says the heavens and the earth, thus the heavens and earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, read it with me, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. God worked and then rested. Notice he rested on the seventh day. In our culture, how many days do you get? 2, right? Saturday and Sunday. Not if you're in construction. But we have a 5-day work week. Some people are down to a 4-day work week. Everybody wants a 3-day work week. And some folks want to go to work once a day. Can we just do 24 hours? And then God provides an exhortation for work in creation. Watch this now closely. You're Bible scholars, all of you. Okay, a few of you. Okay, there's one of you in the house. All right. So, in Genesis 3, man falls, right? And we have the fall of man, and then we got all these other problems that come from that. I'm going to read you a verse from Genesis 2. Is Genesis 2 before or after Genesis 3? Before. Watch this verse. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden. to what? Work it and what? Keep it. You mean God intended us to work all along? Yep. Yep. Yeah, man, not you. Yeah. That was good, Christine. God intended for us to work all along. Before the fall. Now, at the fall, we had a problem. But remember what God says about his creation and about people working? In Genesis 1:31, God looks at all the earth and he says it's what? No, he says it's very good. Muy bueno. Work is, together now, muy bueno. See, you had trouble with that. You can't say it in Spanish, you can't say it in English, you can't say it in any language. We struggle with that. Work, because of the fall of Adam and Eve, is more difficult. God says to Adam, by the sweat of your face, you shall eat bread till it return to the ground. It's going to be more difficult. Yet, he says in Ecclesiastes, it's still beneficial. He says, I perceive that there's nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as we live, and that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all what? Toil. So God intends for us to work. He intends for us to work hard. Somebody say, ow. This is tough, isn't it? I came to church hoping that you would give me a release, give me some freedom. But now you tell me I'm going to work. What kind of pastor are you? Well, first of all, our work is God-designed. But God goes beyond that. He actually explains to us why we should work and how we should work. Isn't that amazing? So we're going to leave today here, God willing, if you stay awake the whole time, with a perspective from God on how we should see work. Our work is a God-guided matter. So why are we to work? Well, the first reason we're to eat, we are to work, is to eat. What does that mean? Well, it says in Proverbs 16:26, a worker's appetite works for him. His mouth urges him on. What does that mean? That means if you don't work, you don't eat. Your hunger pains, your mouth makes you want to keep, makes you want to go to work. Why? So you can get paid, so you can go to Stop and Shop and get yourself some food. If you get hungry enough, you will go to work. Bible is not a complicated book. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 addresses an interesting problem happening at Thessalonica. There was a group of people who were very spiritual, and they believed they knew that Jesus was coming real soon, so they all quit their jobs. And they said to the church, because we're so spiritual, and because we're praying for the Lord's return, you need to pay for us to eat. You need to take care of our needs because we're so spiritual. And Paul helps them out. He says, for even when we were with you, we would give you this command. If anyone is not willing to what? Work, let him what? Not eat. Ouch. The problem when working is found in Ecclesiastes 6:7. All the toil of man is for his mouth, yet his appetite is not satisfied. Here's the problem. Once you work and you eat, you're going to get hungry again. At least we found that in our home. We can buy groceries for 1 week, but it doesn't carry on for the rest of our lives. We have to keep getting groceries. We have to keep working to get the groceries. That's just the way it goes. Secondly, not only are we to work to eat, we are to work to reap. From the fruit of his mouth, a man is satisfied, Proverbs 12:14 says, with good, and the work of a man's hand does what? Comes back to him. It is the law of reaping and sowing. Galatians 6:9 tells us, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Psalm 126:5 and 6 says, those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come again with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. And then we are to work to be ready. Proverbs 10:5, he who gathers in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings what? Shame. The gathering process here in summer is the late part of summer. You're getting a jump on the harvest, and then the other guy here is doing what? He's sleeping through the harvest. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6-8 says it this way. Go to the ant, O sluggard. consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief officer or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. One of the reasons we work is to be prepared for a time when it's not so hot. Be prepared for a time where it's not so good. We don't wait till there is a time where it's not so good and go, oh, I'm surprised. What's the chance that you're going to have a financial difficulty in your life? Most people who rent in the United States of America don't have $400 for an emergency. Yeah. That's not a good thing, is it? Why do we work? To put aside a little bit to be ready. If you don't work, you can't put it aside. And remember, the Proverbs 10:4, a slack hand, someone who won't work, what does it cause? Poverty. But the hand of the diligent makes rich. Now, I understand there are some people who absolutely, positively cannot work. But you should still seek to do something. Because if you do nothing, that's just bad for you. You go, no, Pastor, you don't understand. I'm waiting till I retire. I've read the Bible cover to cover 25 times. Don't be impressed. There are people who've read it a lot more than that. I have not found in Hebrew, Greek, or Aramaic the word retire. The phrase retire and move to Florida is also not found in those languages. There is something that's close to Pennsylvania, but never Florida. It's a non-tax state. But what I'm trying to say is that God's plan for us is to work. I love the way Sid Buswell says it in the Bible Knowledge Commentary. He says, if a person refuses to work, he will be poor, whereas a hard worker eventually is rewarded. One example of diligence and therefore of wisdom is harvesting in the summer while the crops are ripe. An example of laziness is a son who sleeps rather than works during harvest. Fourthly, we are to work to be productive. In all toil there is profit, but mere talk tends only to poverty. Proverbs 19:15, slothfulness casts into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer what? Hunger. But work is productive, and working and toiling is a productive thing. Believe me when I say this, because it's true, because I've spent time with people who are retired. People who are retired will say to you, I don't know where I had time to go to work. Why? Because instead of getting up at 7, you get up at 8:30. You go with your friends, you go eat with them, then it's 10. Then you got to sit down and read the newspaper, get everything together, and by then it's noon. And what do you have to do at noon? You got to eat. You're done eating with your friends. At 1 o'clock, you take a little bit of a snooze. You get up, you do a few things, but by the time it's 3, there's no sense starting anything at 3. And the early special for the food starts at 5, so you need to be there by 5 to the restaurant. By the time you're done with your friends, it's 7. Then after 7, you have to get home because you have to watch the important programs that are on TV. You know, Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy, they're on from 7 to 8. 8 o'clock's your favorite program. And then why do anything? Because it's almost 10 o'clock in the news. And then 11 o'clock, there's another news. And then you got to go to bed because you got to get up at 7:30. And you say to yourself, what did I do with my time? Your life is non-productive. And that's not a healthy thing. That's not a good thing for you. Some people just talk, J. Vernon McGee says. They don't do. People can almost be classified as either talking people or doing people. Remember what the verse says. In all toil there is profit, but mere talk tends only to what? Poverty. Now, I've met people who talk about getting a job. I'm going to go out and get a job. When? I don't know, but I'm looking for the right job, and I'm going to go get a job. I'm going to take some classes. I'm going to get a job. I'm going to talk to some people about getting a job, and then I'm going to call a friend of mine, and we're going to pray about me getting a job. Well, maybe that's the way it's going to work, but maybe what you need to do is get a job, any job, because if you get one, you can get another, true or false. The hardest part is getting one. Get one and get another. When I was about to get married, I had to show something, right? So I took a job stuffing envelopes from 4 in the afternoon to midnight. Stuffing envelopes, and they counted how many envelopes you stuffed, whether you were doing it fast enough. I had a lot of cuts in my hand, and they paid big, $3.35 an hour. But I had that job, and then I moved, and I got another job. I worked for Hajoka Plumbing for the summer, driving a truck. I had never driven a stick shift once in my life, once. So the guy said, have you ever driven a stick shift? I said, oh, yeah, sure. Once. I carried plumbing supplies throughout all Central Virginia. Destroyed two trucks, but yes, I delivered those things. And then I got a job at Radio Shack. I worked at Radio Shack for 4 years. Even when I was in ministry, I worked at Radio Shack. If Radio Shack was still open, I'd work at Radio Shack. I loved working at Radio Shack. But what I'm saying is that if you have one, you can get another. Don't worry so much about talking about it. Get a job. If you get a job. If you want to work, get a job. Ecclesiastes 2:24 reminds us of the productivity of that. There's nothing better for a person than he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. When we don't work, it messes us up. Why do people who retire and do nothing die? Because they have nothing to live for. We are to work to have enough. The soul of the sluggard craves or dreams and gets what? Nothing. While the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. There are those of us who have, I'm going to do big things. When are you going to do big things? I'm not sure, but I'm going to do big things. Who's going to do the big things? The soul of the diligent is richly supplied. If wishes were horses, beggars would ride, said William MacDonald. The lazy man has great desires, but that isn't enough. The wish without the exertion is useless. The diligent man applies himself to his work and carries home the bacon. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? The proverb warns us. And then number 6, we are to work, watch this, to share. Whoever works his land will have what? Plenty of bread. But he who follows worthless pursuits lacks sense. What are you going to do with the plenty of bread? Some of it you're going to share. Now, I've been pastoring this church 28 years. I don't know how many people I've had tell me, but it's a lot. Say, when I win the lotto, you will not believe how much money I'm going to give to the church. I don't believe how much money you're going to give to the church because you don't give nothing now. And you're not going to give nothing after you win the lotto. And you're not going to win the lotto. What's the chances of you winning the lotto? Hey, do me a solid. Get a job and give something to the church. I got this business. I got this business thing I'm involved in. And any minute now, it's going to hit. You can't. And then I'm going to give the church. Born again, not born again yesterday, man. Start giving now. Get a job. And it's good for you to give because you've worked. It's good for you. It's good for me. Proverbs 11:25, whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be what? Watered. If I take some of the water I got from the well, remember, in the first century, or not in the first century, when this was written, you know, 800 B.C., to get water, you're carrying all the water from the well. You went down in the hole, got the water, you brought it all the way up, and then you're going to give some of the water away. What does it say will happen to that person? That person will be watered. God will bless that person. This is my favorite verse in all, well, in some of the New Testament. Ephesians 4:28. What does it say? Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands. Why? So that he may have something to what? Share with anyone in need. The purpose of work, the purpose of having enough, is to give some of it away. And then we are to work to prosper. Whoever is slack in his work is a brother of him who destroys. Now, what does this mean? Well, the opposite of prospering is destroying. So watch how this plays out. I think this is important. Same phraseology. It says, whoever robs his father or his mother and says, that's no transgression, is a companion to a man who destroys. You know what I think this text is saying? This text is saying that you can steal from your parents. And a person who does that is a destroyer. They're a destroyer because they didn't want to work. They were waiting on their parents. Here's the way it should be. It's great when parents can give you their house. It's great when your parents can give you an inheritance. But you should not be waiting for your parents' inheritance. You should not be going, how long are they going to go? Isn't it time they met Jesus? Please. We should be saying, I want to take care of my parents. I want to provide for my... I don't want them providing for me. I want to provide for them. It's an entirely different viewpoint. In that case, I want to prosper enough. Why do I want to prosper enough? So I have enough? I want to prosper enough so I have enough, but I have more than enough so I can take care of other people. That's what I think it means. Well, beyond that, just so that we review, why do we work? We work to eat, to reap, to be ready, to be productive, to have enough, to share, and to prosper. But beyond that, how are we to work? Do you know it even gets specific about the way we should be working? In our work, we are to seek, the text says, excellence. What does it say? It says, do you see a man skillful in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. If you will do your work and do your job and do it well, you'll be like a great restaurant. You won't have to advertise how good you are. A man's gift, Proverbs says, makes room for him and brings him before the great. Our giftedness with our tenacity puts us in a position where people recognize that we are good at what we do if we do our work with excellence. Now, I know a job may not be worthy of you, but your best always is. You say, Pastor, you've never had... Folks, I've worked on a pig farm and I've shoveled, not pig slop, I've shoveled the other stuff. I've had the privilege of taking a pig's temperature, and they don't open their mouth, guys. I've washed dishes in a dish pit. I've done that. I did all that at that time to try and save enough money to buy an engagement ring. So please don't tell me, oh, you don't know. I know what it's like to have a nasty job, and the jobs were not worthy of me. Of course not. I didn't belong on a pig farm. But my best always was, and that's true of all of us. You ever worked on a pig farm, Sam? No, good. Good to hear that. Listen to the words of Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. The heights by great men reached and kept were not attained by a sudden flight, but that while their companions slept were toiling upward through the night. Working hard. Proverbs 10:26. This is a great verse. You want to know how to make your boss angry? Be a sluggard. Be someone who doesn't get the job done. What does it say? Like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to those who send him. That's not the kind of employment place we want to be. We don't want someone to say, yeah, I hired them. Oh, they know Jesus. But they don't know how to work. 1 Corinthians 10:31, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Colossians 3:24, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving who? The Lord Christ. In your job, in your work, you're not working for the guy over you. You're working for the guy over him. The Lord. And then in our work, we are to seek righteousness. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues with injustice. If I've got to cheat, if I've got to be part of a scheme to cheat other people, if I can't do it legally, I shouldn't do it. Because it's better to have little and have the integrity of my conscience than to have a lot and not have that. Proverbs 10:16, the wage of the righteous leads to life, the gain of the wicked to sin. Proverbs 11:18, the wicked earns deceptive wages, but one who sows righteousness gets a sure reward. You say, Pastor, what if my job requires me to do bad, to do evil? Four-letter word, Q-U-I-T. God will have your back. It's better to have a modest income, McDonald says, which is earned honestly, than to have vast revenues without justice or with fraud. Proverbs 28:18-19 reminds us, whoever walks in integrity will be delivered, but he who is crooked in his ways will suddenly fall. Here's the problem. Your boss is cheating. Your boss is scamming. You're participating in it because you're trying to have a job. When they come to arrest people, guess who they're going to arrest? Your boss is going to say, I didn't know they were doing it. And then in our work, we are to seek priorities. Proverbs 24:27. Prepare your work outside. Get everything ready for yourself in the field. And after that, build your house. All God's people said, what in the world does that mean? Well, it talks about priorities. First, MacArthur says, secure by diligent work and planning a good living in your fields. Then build. In other words, provide a financial base so that all the necessities and contingencies are secured. Then move from the tents, which are acceptable, to a house. So he's talking here about your priorities. You're living in a tent and you say to yourself, well, I don't got anything going, but I got to get my house built. Kind of like where I'm from. You got some snotty-nosed kid, just got his first job, living in a broken-down apartment, but he's driving himself the biggest, baddest car you could possibly drive. And he's saying, dude, how are you affording that car? And then you look at where they live and you go, I know how you're affording the car. You got no money and you got this great car. What's wrong with you? Your priorities are messed up. In the critical commentary, James Fawcett and Brown, it says this, prepare in the field, secure by diligence a proper support, and then build, provide necessities, then comforts, and then luxuries. How does it go? Necessities, then comforts, then luxuries. We've solved that in our country. You don't have to have no money. You have a piece of plastic. So you go to Costco, and you say, you know, my 720, you know, pulsations per second flat screen TV, I am not seeing the game as I ought to. And I work hard. I work hard for my money. I deserve myself a new TV. I don't have the cash. And it's only on sale at Costco this week. And I got the $50 thing from the vouchers that they sent me. I better get it now. I'm actually making a good investment. That's why it's always better to do things with cash, because when you do things with cash, it hurts. I don't know about you. I go shopping with cash. I give every one of them dollar bills a funeral. No, baby, come back to me, George, come back to me. And Benjamin, oh my goodness, to get a Benjamin off of me, woo! And then in our work, we are to seek balance. Do you see how much Proverbs says about work? How do I become a wise person regarding work? I study Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 23, 4 and 5. Do not toil to acquire wealth. Well, do not toil to acquire wealth. Why? It says, be discerning enough to desist. When your eyes light on it, it is what? Gone. For suddenly it sprouts wings, flying like an eagle toward heaven. Wow. We want balance. We do not work to get rich because money flies away. Now, it took me a while to learn. When I came here to New York City, I learned how fast money flies. Somebody gave me a gift card to a great restaurant downtown. I won't name the name of the restaurant, but it was a great restaurant. They gave me a $100 gift card. This is in 1991. And I thought, $100, man. Debbie and I are going to party with this, and we're going to have lots of money left over. When it was all said and done, I had to put in $20 more and pay for parking. I went out with a group of friends. You know, thought we're going to play big with the neighbors. So we went out with a group of the friends with the neighbors. And then we all ate, and then the neighbors said, we'll all share the bill. I said, oh, absolutely. Your share is... Whoa! What is wrong with you people? And the crazy thing was, We didn't order nothing, man. We had like a little salad and they were ordering steak and blah, blah, blah. And we're going to split the bill. Eight ways. I don't know if we've paid that off yet. Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord makes what? Rich, and there's no sorrow with it. Why? Because we've got balance. And then in our work, we seek diligence. The plans of diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to what? Poverty. Diligence is putting your nose to the grind, and then the next day putting your nose to the grind, and then the next day putting your nose to the grind. That's hard. Yes, it is. Proverbs 12:24, the hand of the diligent will rule, while the slothful will be put to forced labor. Proverbs 12:27, whoever is slothful will not roast his game. He's that lazy. But the diligent man will get precious wealth. And then in our work, we seek perseverance. Proverbs 24:10 speaks of the difficulty of work. It says, if you faint in the day of adversity, what does it say about you? Now, maybe our strength is small, but we got a God who provides all the strength that we need. So if we are having a tough time, God is the one who will get us through and get the glory from it. A faithful man, someone who keeps at it, will abound with blessing, but whoever hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. Why? Because your integrity gets compromised. Oh, you just have to tell a little story here. This sale is going to be great. It's only going to have one white lie in it. Why white people always get blamed for lying, I don't know. Wealth gained hastily will dwindle. But whoever gathers little by little will what? How is it that you build wealth? How is it? You save up little by little by little. We got it in 5 minutes. It doesn't happen that way. Oh, we borrowed and got it. It doesn't happen well that way. Take your time. And then in our work, we seek God's will. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be what? Established. God has a different set of dreams for you than you have. I know that goes against everything you've been told on the Faith Channel. But you have a set of dreams. They're okay. God gets to tell you what's going to be right and wrong, what's going to be for you and what's not going to be for you. Commit here means to...
Hello, this is Dave Watson, pastor of Calvary Chapel, and your host right here on God in Our City. This fall here at Calvary Chapel and on God in Our City, we're delving into a new series called Living iSmart in an E-Stupid World. Together, we'll be studying the Bible book of Proverbs for 12 weeks. Our hope and prayer is that we all will be wiser for it. We're giving everyone here at Calvary a 12-verse memory packet so that we can, through meditating and memorizing, hide these important truths in our heart. If you'd like the same memory packet free of charge to join us in this endeavor, please call us at 718-720-5390. That's 718-720-5390 to request the memory packet. When you call, please consider giving a gift to God in Our City so that we can continue to present the Word of God clearly to you and those living in our metropolitan area. Again, the verse pack is free and yours just by calling us at 718-720-5390, 718-720-5390. May our Lord richly bless us as we seek to live iSmart in an e-stupid world.
God in Our City is an extension of the ministry of Pastor Dave Watson and Calvary Chapel on Staten Island. For more information about Calvary Chapel, please visit their website at calvarychapelsi.org. That's calvarychapelsi.org. Or call the church office at 718-720-5390. That's 718-720-5390. To contact Pastor Dave, please email him at nycshepherd@gmail.com. That's nycshepherd@gmail.com. Pastor Dave would love to hear from you. Also, be sure to check out his blog at nycshepherd.com. That's nycshepherd.com.